Thank you so much for the flow of your spirit that is going to come through your word. Thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for teaching us, Lord. Teaching us faith, teaching us patience, Lord. Thank you so much for pouring out your love upon each one of us. And Lord, we are glad to open up your word with open hearts. May we receive all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Genesis 17, changes. God called Abram. He leaves. He goes. 24 years later, this is chapter 17, he shows up again and speaks to Abraham and makes a lot of changes. Changes his name, changes his wife's name, requires circumcision of him, and tells him, around this time next year, you're going to have a baby. The one thing that always happens to each one of us is God coming in and does not leave us the same. God finds us wherever, amongst the Chaldeans, and says, I want you to be just like me. I want you to have a new identity, to have a new belonging, to walk in the newness of life that I give you. And that's what we see here in chapter 17. So when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. Remember the last time God appeared to him? He was 86. Another 13 years later, can you imagine, is when God comes again. How long have you been waiting to hear God's voice again? Is it 13 years yet? Is it 24 years? As if God has been silent, but he has been walking. He says, I'll make a covenant, my covenant, between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. That's what the name means. I'll make you exceedingly fruitful, and I'll make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I've given to you and your descendants after you the land, that land of Canaan, in which you're a stranger, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and your descendants after you. Every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations. He who is born in your house or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male, a male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall not be part of the covenant. They shall be cut off from the people. He has broken my covenant. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai anymore. It shall be Sarah. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations, kings of peoples, shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed, and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, have a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live. And God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I'll establish my covenant with him, an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. As for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I've blessed him. I've blessed him already. And I will make him fruitful, and I'll multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you at this set time next year. Then he finished talking with him, and God went up from Abraham. So Abraham took Ishmael his son, all who were born in his house, and all who were bought with money, foreigners, every male among the men, and got them circumcised. That very day, Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin. And Ishmael his son was 13 years old when he was circumcised in the flesh. That very same day Abraham was circumcised, and his son Ishmael and all men in his house, born in his house or bought with money from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. See the changes? So God shows up. The last time Abraham was 86, now he is 99, 13 years later. God shows up, and the first thing he says to Abraham is in regard to who he was, his character, his name, his ability. He says, I am Almighty God. I am, the Jewish phrase is El Shaddai. I am the all-sufficient God. I am the all-powerful God. Literally, I am the one who has my hand on everything. Now, having waited 10 years, he messed up. 13 more years, he must have been thinking, man, is this going to work? I've waited 10 years, I messed up. I've waited 13 more years, more than 10 years, and nothing is happening. Could have been doubt running through his head. Could have been, God, I am terribly confused. Now it's completely impossible for me to have a child, and do you even remember the promises you made? And God says, Abraham, all you need is to know who I am, to know that there is nothing difficult for me. All you need is to wait just one more year. Next year, around this time, you're going to have a baby. And tell you what, every day we go through so many dilemmas in our Christian walk. Sometimes you walk with God and you think, I have finally figured out how God works. You ever get to a place like that? When I pray this kind of prayer, he responds. When I do A, B, C, D, and then you finally find out that you do all those things and he doesn't seem to respond the way you expect. And you're terribly confused. You're attacked by doubt. The people around you are laughing at you. They're thinking, hey, God promised you a son. How many do you have after 24 years? None. And God shows up and tells him, forget about all that. You just need to know who you're dealing with here. Do you ever meet those people who tell you who they are? Or at least they ask you, do you know who I am? And then you ask them, so how come you don't know who you are? God says, Abram, I know all that is going on in your life, but I want you to know who you're working with here. It is me who has his hand on literally everything. And there is nothing difficult for me. God showed up to Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 27. And he told this prophet, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Do you know me? I'm God. So you know that, do you? Yes. So tell me, is there anything too difficult for me? What's the answer? No. And all through this walk with God, the one thing that we always have to remember is who he is. Who he is. He is God. And that's what we need to understand. Because the moment we forget who he is, then we start wandering off. We think, oh, maybe he has forgotten. He is God. He never forgets. Maybe he's busy. Well, he's never too busy for anyone. He's working for everybody at the same time. Maybe it's just my problem. Yes, you're just impatient. You understand it's God who promised and you know he's faithful and it will come to pass. Maybe you're looking for wisdom. God says, I am the source of wisdom. You need health. He says, I am your healer. You're in fear. God says, be courageous. I am with you. You're mocked and laughed at. God says, forget about those people who are mocking and laughing at you. I am dealing with you, not them. They're not your God. I am your God. You need to focus on me. Maybe you're lost. You're thinking, God, I'm completely confused. God will show up to unconfuse you. He'll show up and he'll speak to you and say to you, first, you need to understand who I am. I am God, all-powerful, all-sufficient. I started all this, and there's no way I'll not finish. In Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, Daniel said, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Once we know who our God is, there is nothing that will hinder us from moving on. We will march on against all odds. We will climb mountains. We will climb hills. We will run and not get weary. We will get to a place and for sure still be at rest because we know God is going to take care of whatever it is. And that is the first thing that we always need to remember. Remember God. He's able to do everything and anything. And once in Daniel's testimony, we know that we will go against 10,000. There is nothing that will block us. We'll jump over every hurdle. We will wait if it means waiting. We will march in strength if it means marching in strength. We will fight if it means fighting. So Abram, just know who I am. I am God. I started all this and I'm going to finish it. And this is what you need to do. You have to walk before me and be blemless. To whom much is given, much is required. This is going to be a father of kings. Okay? This is going to be a family through whom every person can be saved, whoever wants to. This is a father of many nations. The father of the Arabs, father of the Jews, father of us all. So with that comes responsibility. We like to ask God to bless us, right? God, bless me, bless me, bless me. Okay, Abraham, I'm going to bless you, but with that blessing comes a lot of responsibility. You have to walk well before me and be blameless. The idea is be one. The person you are in the morning should be the person you are in the evening, right? Don't be something different or someone different in the morning and something else in the evening, a hypocrite, an actor, a pretender. Abram, you are my child. You are my choice. You are the father of many, many nations. So you have to walk like the person you are. Do you know who you are as a Christian? You are a child of God. You are his sheep. And don't dare try to walk like a goat. God says you are mine, so you have to walk before me. The idea is God is right there and is watching Abram and says, you walk before me. I can see every move you make. He probably was referring to the mess that he had way earlier when he connived with his wife to have a child, an effort of the flesh. And he tells him, look here, you just have one more year. How do you like that? You've been waiting 24 years and he says, just one more year and you really had better be a good boy. Yes. Abram, we have to make some changes here. You need to go to the authorities and tell them you're no longer Abram, you are Abraham. And you go and change your wife's name too. Go fill in the papers. She's no longer Sarai, she's Sarah. It's almost like a breath at the end. Abraham, a breath in the middle. Though it had been 24 years waiting, maybe thinking God has forgotten, God shows up and reminds them of every promise. The land, the descendants, the son, everything. Here, the very thing that he said in chapter 12, he repeats himself And he's telling him, everything is going to come to pass just as I promised. And what you need to do is walk like you are my child. Walk like you belong to me. Walk by faith. Don't walk by sight. Walk in righteousness. If you're a Muganda and you go to apply for a Ugandan passport in the Ministry of Internal Affairs, I'm told they're doing all the tribal investigations. So they'll tell you, you know, tambula ngo Muganda. And if you do not know what that means, you'll be like, so how does a Muganda walk, you know? Just mention your lineage. Where do you come from? Who is your grandfather? And blah, 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 blah. So Abraham, walk like you believe in me. Walk like you belong to me. Walk in the newness that I'm giving you. That's what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 2. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of your calling with which you are called, with lowliness and gentleness and long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Those are the very same words Abraham was hearing. You belong to me, so walk like you're going to be a father of kings. How does a father of kings walk like? Straight. Walk like you're going to be a blessing to so many. Walk like you're going to have a child next year. Start shopping, Abraham. Go and shop baby clothes. See, if you believe in God, then you really have to prepare to receive what he has. Somebody said, if you believe in God for rain, right? Are you struggling with that where you live? I do. You know what I do? I walk with an umbrella all the time. It could rain anytime. So I believe God for rain. I'm walking with an umbrella, you know. Walk in the newness of life. Walk like you are called. Walk worthy. You are a Christian. Walk like a Christian. You believe in me. Walk like you believe in me. Don't walk like everybody else who doesn't know me. And he says here, gentle, lowly, long-suffering. That is another word for patience. In fact, to be patient is to suffer long. We wish it could be short suffering. Or just medium length suffering. Patience is long. 24 years of waiting, and then you have one more, and you're thinking, yeah, I thought I'd waited enough, God. And he's there, gentle. He bows down in worship. He can't even get up. And all he's expressing is, God, you're so big, you're up, you're great, and I'm down, I am nothing. My face down. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4, therefore we were buried with him through baptism in death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. We are not the person God met how many years ago? We were there lost in darkness, blind, and God says, I've given you eyes so you walk like you can see. I've given you strength, walk like you're strong. I've given you faith, walk like you trust me. The world is walking by sight. You are different. You walk by faith. Walk in the newness of life. I'm giving you a new name. You're not just a father of many. You are a father of many nations. Your wife is not just my lady. She's a princess. Sir, God literally breathes his spirit, his grace upon both of them. That H there is actually pronounced hey in Hebrew, and it can signify breath or grace. And God obviously does both. The breath is a spirit. The grace, I'm giving you what you do not deserve. You've done totally nothing to deserve a child and to be a blessing to many. It's my grace upon you. And I want you to walk like I am watching. Initially you were lost, now you're found. You are a sinner, now you're a saint. You are evil, now you're righteous. Now I've chosen you, a royal priesthood. You are a king. You are a priest. A savior is coming through you. And if there is one thing that we have to act upon daily, is desiring change. Continuously desiring to be like Jesus Christ. The one ugly thing about all of us is the hate of change. I hate people who don't like change. It's like waking up in the morning and instead of getting rid of your bad breath by brushing, you're like, no. I want my bad breath, you know. I want my old clothes. God is saying, I have a new pair of suit for you. No. You know, this suit was given to me by my grandfather. I still want it. You have to change. You have to constantly desire to be like Jesus. And that is what each one of us expects of the other, right? And before I expect anybody to change, I should desire change myself. All right? And God finds us. Tell you what, He does not want to leave us the same. Never, not once. He finds you sitting, He tells you what? Get up. He finds you sleeping, He says, wake up. He finds you dirty, He gives you a bath. He finds you completely lost, He says, I have a new direction for you. Embrace the change that God has. He wants us to be exactly like Him. He wants us to be one and whole, blameless like Him. And that is the responsibility that each one of us has. Right, quite often we want the blessings, we don't want to change. We want to remain in our old clothes that we wore back in the day. We want to walk around with bad breath, we want to stink. And we want to expect other people to change. When two people come to me complaining about each other, each one of them I charge to change. You stop complaining about him or her, and you also try to start changing, okay? Both of you need to change, not just one. We normally think, oh, it's the other person's problem. It's your problem too. You need to change your name. Change your identity. You belong to God. You're not your own, Bible says. We are His. And then God requires circumcision of Abraham and his descendants. Now this is tough. Abraham, you're going to have a son around this time next year. Lovely. Now I want you to be circumcised. This man is 99. All right? Now you know how babies are made. You need a class for that. But he tells him you have to keep away from your wife for at least until you heal. And you're thinking, ah! How long? And medics tell us that the older you grow, the slower you won't heal. So at 99, you may take 6 months to heal from circumcision. And then you have to have a baby. You have to work out the process, right? So Abram is excited. This is going to happen. But he's like puzzled again. Boy, now I have to be separate from my wife until I heal. It gets harder by the day, doesn't it? Great things happening, but God has to work in His own ways. He has His own calendar. He has His own timing. 1 more year of waiting, but you have to be away from your wife until you heal. Whoa. And this is an outward sign that they belong to God. Just like a ring is an outside sign that you're married. And the Jews would later on twist this. They would require people to be circumcised to be regarded as Christians in the Christian community. The Jews, the Muslims would twist this. If you really want to be Muslim, then you have to be circumcised. It's just a sign. It's an outward sign. And it's symbolic of cut away the flesh. Forget about your old lifestyle. And I want you to be completely given to the leading of the Spirit. I want you to forget about your own efforts trying to help me. And I want you to rest and let my Spirit flow through you. The child that you're going to have, the spiritual child. The child of the flesh is Ishmael, so sorry, you cannot have him. I'm not going to work with him. I'm going to bless him, and I've blessed him. But Isaac is coming. Now, he's thinking, oh, at 99 and my wife is 90, he laughs. You think he's laughing because he doubts? He's laughing because he's amused, right? Can a man of 99 have a child? He's talking to himself. You ever laugh at yourself? Somebody said, happy is the person who can laugh at himself. He will never cease to be amused. If you want to laugh at yourself, you literally laugh every day. You are a funny person. But Abraham receives, in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. Abraham said, God, this is really complicated. This is funny. I am caught in between something that I completely don't understand. But I receive that and I'm going to do it. He's going to get circumcised and he's going to circumcise everyone in his compound. And in Galatians chapter 5 verse 6, in fact, Paul in Galatians refers to Hagar and Ishmael as the sons of the flesh, the products of the flesh, the fruits of the flesh, and Sarah and Isaac as the fruit of the Spirit, the effort of the flesh versus the flow of God's Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Cut away the flesh. Dump that old man. Leave that dead man alone and arise and wake up and let God guide you in the newness of life. And I'm told that before a baby is 8 days old, they don't have enough in their blood system to enable them to have a blood clot, a clot that seals a wound. And God is wise, he knows that. That's why, in fact, at birth they have to be given vitamin K to prevent any bleeding, if there is. But at 8 days, they're okay. So you circumcise them. And in fact, they don't even understand the pain. So don't you think Abraham is wishing, I wish I was an 8-day-old baby. I would not have to think about the pain. I wouldn't even remember. But he's obedient and he still excels in obedience. You go do something that is really difficult and he says, yes, I am going to do that. God, okay. I don't want to bother you. Right? Having a son, too complicated. You just bless Ishmael. Just use this guy. Just bless the effort of my flesh. And God says, no, not Ishmael. Isaac is coming. And now they get more details on the promise. Initially, they do not even know the name. It's just a son. Now it's a son, baby boy, and his name is Isaac. Laughter. He's going to bring laughter and joy to so many. And I will fulfill my covenant with him and all his descendants. It's Jesus who is coming through the lineage of Isaac. And God says, I am going to do it. It's established. And Abraham, after they had been talking to God, goes and gets I don't know how many knives. And every man has to undress. Can you even picture such a scene? He had over 300 servants. Probably now he has over 1,000. Because it was 18 years ago when he had to rescue Lot and he had 300. They must have multiplied. And all of them, blood has to be shed. This is the sign that you belong to God. Cut away the flesh and live in the Spirit. Imagine their neighbors. What are you guys doing to yourselves, right? Why are you guys walking like this? That's what God wants us to do. What? Yeah. Okay. And every male child in his compound, this is when you didn't want to be part of his staff. You probably wished you had a day off, right? Oh, I wasn't there when the instruction was given, so I came back. Sorry, you guys have to bear with the pain. But all of them. And Abraham had to explain to them, okay, this is what God requires of you. So line up. And then there's one lucky guy who actually did it on Abraham. We don't know who that is. But it is obedience here. It's funny. It's gross. It's bloody. It's blood all over the place. It's pain. They're all incapacitated for weeks. But that is what God wants to do. God said it, so we will do it. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16, it's not just the cutting away of the flesh. It's not just circumcision, right? It's very easy. What if God showed up here and said, all you males, go to hospital and get circumcised. That's very easy, right? You'd be like, okay, it's good. Get on a taxi and do it. We are done, God. It is separation to God. And that's what we see in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 16. Therefore, circumcise the foreskin of your heart and be stiff-necked no longer. Said, you guys are stubborn. You have stubborn hearts. And I want to remove that stubbornness. And you have to let that stubbornness go. You have to let go of your own human effort. And you have to rest in me. So literally, set your body, set your heart, set your mind apart for me. It's very easy to give God physical stuff. You want circumcision? Okay, we can have it. How about God saying, I want your heart? That's when you start bargaining, right? Okay, God, you can have 90%. Can I just keep 10% for myself? God says, no, I want everything. And God demanding of the physical is symbolic of Him demanding the heart. God doesn't just want our money and the things we can do. Alright? He wants us. He wants us to be separated to Him. In Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 4. Same call. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Separate yourselves to the Lord. And take away the foreskins of your heart. You men of Judah, you Christians, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, you residents of Kampala, live for the Lord, lest my fury come upon you like fire, burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Let your evil past alone. Don't go back to that old self that you once were. Don't turn back to your vomit. Separate yourself to God. And that is the call that God makes to everyone who He calls His child. You are His child, then you really have to be His child. Right? Separate yourself for Him. We are in this world, but we are not of this world, are we? You walk around, you see people, you cannot tell a Christian and non-Christian. But soon or later, the distinction will be very clear. Right? The Christians will be out, and everybody will remain. We pretty much look the same. Now look here. The circumstances around Abraham are completely the same. He still has to wait. He's still 99. His wife is 90. One more year. But God is doing something. And sometimes the circumstances around us are pretty much the same. You feel like you're dry. You feel like you're dying. You feel like it's too long. You feel like this is tough. This is complicated. And we have this perception that the longer I walk with God, the more I'll figure Him out. If you've been walking with God long enough, you realize, man, it's like a puzzle that is never ending. You think, oh, now I understand. And then you fall in a ditch and you're thinking, oh, what was I thinking? Okay, God, you're going to come through this door, and God comes through the sky, and you're thinking, hey. And the longer we walk with God, the more profound He becomes. You're thinking, okay, I have to wait a year. Great. But then is circumcision part. I wish I could skip it. And God demands of us separation to Him. Only one thing. Is that too hard? Is that too much? God says, I'm going to give you everything you want, all right? What's your list? And you say, God, here, I want a son, I want land, I want money, I want a house, blah, 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 blah. And God says, okay, great, done. But I want you. And you're thinking, ah, no. And He says, I just want one thing from you. I've given you 100. Is one thing too difficult for you to give? And you're thinking, yeah, it's fair, but oh, it's too hard. God says, no, that's what I want. Because that is where my promises are going to be fulfilled and enjoyed. We will not enjoy the fullness, the abundance of life that God promises, unless we walk with Him. The promise is for those who are separated for Him. Those who still want one foot forward in the spirit and one foot backward in the flesh, miserable. Going backwards, actually. Backsliding, we call it. Just one thing God wants from us, walk before me. walk the way I instruct you. And that's all I require from you. You can enjoy the land. You're going to have children. You are a king. You are a prince. You are a princess. I just want you to walk before me. And that's not too much for you. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, Paul writes, "For we are the circumcision, who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no room or confidence in the flesh." Can we say that? Yes, we are those who have been circumcised in heart. We've allowed Jesus in. And Jesus has to reign there every day, every moment. And Paul reminds us, Christians, you are the circumcision. You are the chosen, the saints, the priests, the holy nation, the righteousness of God. You're different. If you're a sheep, don't try to be like a goat. A friend of mine, actually a member of this church, is doing some farming down in Loera. And we went there, and there was this one goat. He has, I think, over 100 goats, over 100 sheep. And there is this one goat that always goes with the sheep. And he was bothered. Didn't he ask the vet, "What is wrong with this goat?" They also suffer identity crisis, right? It's a goat, it thinks it's a sheep. And sometimes we are Christians and we are going the wrong direction. And everybody's thinking, "Mrokole, hey, how are dechi? What's wrong with you?" And the Christians are like, what is happening? We actually look at each other and we're thinking, "What's wrong with you?" And the other person is thinking, "What's wrong with you?" You know? You're pretty much like me. We're all the same. And God says, "You know what? All that I promise is going to be fulfilled if you set your heart apart from me. If you don't, you're going to have to wait another 50 years until, until you make that U-turn and say, 'Okay, I'm for you.'" And you know how long the wait has been? 24 years, one more year, 25 years. And it literally took 25 years for this to sink in. Abraham is going to have a son. And when God says, "I want the son," you know what? God have him. I've learned my lessons. I've learned not to hold anything back from you. So here, have the son. I'm going to kill him for you if you want me to. And it takes a lot of time. A lot of time. Not just 25 years. An entire lifetime to enjoy the promises of God and to set ourselves apart for him. That's the challenge that we have every day. We have so much to enjoy, Christians, so much. These promises are for us to enjoy. And Jesus has come, the promise was fulfilled, and we are saved, and the flow of the Spirit is upon us. And God's goodness and his grace and his breath and his protection and everything, the abundance of life the Bible promises, are for us to enjoy. All of them, nothing left out. And we will enjoy each one of them, all of them, the moment we say to God, "I am circumcised in heart. I don't want to be a stubborn boy, stubborn girl. I want to give you every room in my life. I want to give you my mind. I want to give my heart. I want to give you my whole self. I'm not even going to begin about that. Please forgive me if I mess up, but my heart is for you." And God says, "Yeah, that's what I want. So let's go." I pray that we will all, through the life of Abraham, learn to trust in God, that we'll all grow in faith and realize if God was that faithful, he will be faithful to me. And what are the lessons that are going to be learned in your life? What are the lessons that your children are observing from you and other people? Now, the Bible portrays Abraham's life as it is, right? Failures, successes, doubts are in there. Everything. If we were to write our own book about ourselves, an autobiography, you leave out all the failures, right? And that's the mistake we normally make. We follow people, and the books about them say nothing about their failures. We only want to read of their success. And we follow a guy, and we're thinking, "Man, this guy was such an achiever, and nobody will put in there that the guy beat his wife, he was angry. You know, he had torn shoes. He slept on the street. He was homeless at one point. We only want to be like, oh, the guy is successful. He's influential, a wonderful ministry. That's what I want to. But most of the time, we never find the failures. But the Bible is very honest. It says, look at this man. All right? He was a loser at one point. God did not give up on him. Obedient. Yes. He learned that. Given wholly to God. Yes. He learned that. I'll tell you what, we are all imperfect. But there's one thing that is for sure. We are marching up. Right? We are making progress. Never stay in one place. You fall, you get up again like Abraham and say, okay, I don't understand this, but I'm going to heaven. I am going to my God. I'm following Him. Things are confusing. I don't understand every bit of it, but that's what God says, so I will go. I will go get circumcised. I will set myself apart for God. I will follow you, God. I'm yours. Please help me. Please give me strength. Please lead me. Please speak to me. Please encourage me, God. And God will. He for sure will. Philippians 3:3 again. For we are the circumcision, Christians. We are different. Who worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. The summit, the eventuality, the summation of all God's promises and Jesus Christ. And we have Him. Abraham was looking forward. For us, we're looking backward. We already have it. What a joy. We have so much reason to rejoice. And we should be saying, we have no room for the flesh. This flesh is pulling us another direction. God wants us to go forward. You know what the flesh is saying? Just stay home. Just sit down. Don't go to church. You know, you'll be lazy and it's okay. And the Spirit is saying, come on, get up, go to church, go for fellowship, read the Word. Go tell others about me. And the world on the other side is saying, be like the world. Right? Walk by sight. How can you even walk by faith? How can you even walk by things you do not see? That is irrational. Right? The world is completely telling you something that is upside down. But God says, sorry, that is false. I am calling you to walk by those things that you don't see. And that pleases me. No confidence in the flesh, no confidence in this world, only confidence in God, fully given to His Spirit. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Lord, we embrace the challenge to give ourselves wholly to You, to be whole, to be blameless, to walk before You, to walk like You are watching us, and indeed, God, You are watching. Lord, You are all sufficient. You are almighty. Nothing too hard for You. Thank You for that reminder. And may we remember that each time we are down, discouraged, and in doubt, and in fear. Lord, You're faithful. All Your promises come to pass. They have already come to pass in Jesus Christ, whom we have in our hearts, and heaven is ours to inherit. Thank You, God. Thank You so much for giving us Your Spirit. And we know it when Your Spirit is leading us and guiding us and speaking to us and taking us a particular direction. We know it. And we want to be attentive. We want to be given to Your call, O God. And may You lead us, O God, to spread Your promises to those who badly need to hear it, to spread Jesus. May we daily suppress the flesh. And run away from the world and follow You, Your Spirit. May we have no room for the flesh. So Lord, our hearts are surrendered, our hands are up, just like Abraham with our faces down. May You fill us, O God. May You lead us in Your ways of righteousness. May we walk with You in blamelessness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.